Are you a busy woman who at times struggles with reducing your daily stress? Do you know that you need to slow down but do not know how? If you're looking at reducing your daily stress, you're in the right place. My name is Denise Eckert and I welcome you to the Calm Your Daily Stress podcast. I just love interviewing guests so they can share their stress-reducing tips and techniques with you. Now, if you find this podcast helpful, please share it with someone who struggles with stress. Because lowering our stress will make us a better person, a happier partner, mom, friend, neighbor, etc. And the best part is happiness is contagious. Enjoy this episode. Hi there, it's Denise Eckert from the Relaxation Lounge. And I love coming on here and bringing on guests that get to share their information on how to reduce the stress in your life. And today I've got Dr. Marnie Fodorero. And she's an award-winning author who's experienced a great deal of stress and trauma when she lost her American dream. After choosing to leave her 27-year toxic marriage, she reinvented her life. Now she's living proof that you can create a stress-free life by choosing how to respond to life's challenges while staying true to your core values. So welcome, Marnie.
Oh, Denise, thank you so much for having me on your show.
Well, we can't wait to find out how you created a stress-free life. Now, how did you get onto this journey?
Well, I mean, like all of us, it is a journey. And I think part of it is you need to go through the challenges and the dark times and the negative situations to really reevaluate your life, where you're at, where you want to be, acknowledging where you were, what you've been through, and just charting a new course. It doesn't happen automatically. I think you really need to put effort into it and be aware to make the changes, because really my life is really stress-free now. I am just filled with peace and calm and happiness, but it wasn't always that way. So it really does take a concerted effort.
Now, what made you flip that switch?
Well, you know, like you had mentioned in the intro, I chose to leave my American dream. I left a marriage after 27 years, realizing that, you know, my values did not align with my now ex-husband's. I believe in honesty and goodness and working together. And that just wasn't what I was, you know, dealing with. I didn't realize, though, that the abuse and the negative situations would really ramp up after I left. I wasn't really prepared for that. So I was kind of shocked into this. So as far as flipping my switch, it was something that kind of was done for me. But then you're in survival mode in the beginning, you know, whenever you make a big change in your life. And then if you're dealing with, you know, negative, evil, malevolent forces, you know, when you have significant losses, and I've had my share of significant losses, it just kind of, you know, you're in survival mode. So you have to get through that period. But then at some point you decide this is not how I want to live my life. And, you know, so I made a definite effort to chart a different course for myself. So like you said, flip my switch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I was doing a lot of coaching, one of the things was getting clear on where do you want to go? Where mm-hmm. are you now? And how are you going to get there? So what are the things that you did to get to where you are now?
Well, you know, like I said, there's survival mode in the beginning, you know, and you have to consider your basic safety needs, your shelter, your food, your money, your job, you know, that type of thing, especially when you end up losing everything, which is what happens to both men and women, but that leave a toxic situation. But I luckily still had a wonderful job. I was a special education teacher for 35 years in the Chicago suburbs. And 12 of those years, I was an adjunct professor at the university. And so luckily I had that still, and I still had a couple years before retiring. So I was just sort of doing what I could to make ends meet and to try to navigate my new situation. My situation did involve parental alienation, where I lost two adult children, which is just, you know, extremely devastating. But navigating that, and you know, so I knew I at least I still had a purpose and I still had a job to do, which I absolutely loved, which was being a teacher. So when I was nearing the end of that, a very, very close friend of mine and I, Rick, who is my life partner now, we both traveled a lot. So one thing that during that time is we got to just explore different lands, different places, you know, in Europe, in Asia, in the United States. You know, we just really enjoyed traveling together. And that brought me a lot of joy and just opened up my mind to, hey, I could maybe move to a different place. I don't have to necessarily stay here. Hey, I lost the house. I can't stay in that same house anyway. You know, the kids are gone. So we ended up moving to the Caribbean. So we would keep coming back. I just love the sunshine and I love the ocean. I love the idea of being on an island with different ethnicities and different cultures. We even drive on the left side of the road, which is very different from the United States where I was from, the Chicago suburbs. You know, well, all of the United States, we drive on the right side of the road. So, you know, that's kind of what I did. But to find, you know, so that was the beginning part of just finding where I wanted to go and what I wanted to do. And in the midst of all of that, I found writing to be extremely healing, where I could process my feelings and what I was going through, positive and negative, just put it on paper. Didn't necessarily think it would go anywhere, but I ended up writing a 2020 Best Books Award-winning spiritual fiction called God Came to My Garage Sale, which was inspired by actually having to have a garage sale, you know, because I had to unload all these material possessions from this big home that I was at. And some miracles happened, some spiritual divine interventions, signs and synchronicities that I, you know, was really at a place where I could pay attention to them. And that was very life-altering for me. So I ended up writing that book, and it was prominently endorsed by James Redfield, who wrote The Celestine Prophecy. And, you know, so that was really, I found that writing was very helpful. So then in time, I ended up writing my 4-book series called True Deceit, False Love, which is just a labor of love, but it was very healing for me. Not an autobiographical situation. It was more just writing about what is domestic violence, narcissistic abuse, what is parental alienation, and using the terminology to first put that out there, but also to do some poetry, which I found that type of writing very healing. And it's a very safe way to process your emotions. So a long answer to a short question, you know, that it was a process, but writing I found was really, really helpful to just get it out and then to be able to release it, so that I could be more present and live in the present and enjoy life a lot more.
Yeah, that's very powerful. Getting it out on paper. And a lot of times, even if you are going through stress or you're upset, just dumping it out, you know, don't worry about punctuation, spelling, just getting it out of your head. And I find it clears your mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I mean, being in a stressful relationship has got to be the worst. It's so, I don't know, debilitating. So what advice can you give our audience if someone's out there listening that's in a very stressful or toxic relationship? What's a step that you can give them to take the first step?
Well, try to pay attention to the severity of the toxicity in the relationship. So not, you don't have to leave all relationships and go no contact with everyone. You could go low contact, you know, or you could continue to work on the relationship. It depends on the other person and their personality. when you're dealing with a personality disordered individual, which is what I was with, you know, kind of, there's many different labels, and I'm not here to diagnose or label, but the traits are very similar to like a sociopath, you know, which they know what they're doing and they want to cause harm. You know, when you're dealing with that, where they'll go to all extremes to do that, you know, you have to kind of know what you're dealing with. So the first step is to just kind of identify that. Get yourself to a place of safety. Give yourself credit that you've been through a lot. You know, we don't, when you're in this situation, lots of times you find your support system is gone. You know, your friends and family and neighbors that you thought you could count on just to process what you've gone through are not necessarily there, because the abuser can get to them with lies and half-truths and smear campaigns and that type of thing. So you're really left on your own, you know, you're isolated, and you realize probably for a good part of the relationship, you were slowly being isolated from your support system. And so that's a very negative thing. But if you look at it in a positive way, that isolation can give you the time needed to really go do a deep dive within your own, you know, person. And a big part is to do some self-reflection. When you think about what you've been through, instead of always pointing the finger, it's very easy to point the finger at everyone else. And definitely when you're dealing with an abuser, they are, you know, you're a targeted person, and it's not your fault really that you were in this situation, but it's good to kind of look at your own intergenerational family trauma, your childhood wounds, you know, look at your childhood experiences, or, you know, how things were in high school or beyond, and what made you a target for someone. Well, being an empath is one of them, being an overgiver, you know, always wanting to please other people, trying to do what's right. And in the process of doing that, we sort of let ourselves go. Even physically, you know, you can let yourself go when you're in the midst of all of these things. So definitely do a little inner work. Well, a lot of inner work, really, to just see, you know, why you're in this situation. And it can help you understand why bad things happen to good people. And then do some, find your passions, find what you're interested in. If you have an activity that you love to do, whether it was going skiing or whether it was playing tennis or whether it was painting or working in the garden, something that you might have let go for all those years, try to rediscover your passions. You might find that some things you liked before were really coping mechanisms that really won't serve you now. But you also might look into new things to see if that would resonate with you, you know? And so find some passions so that you have some sort of creative outlet to just work through some of your trauma, and then make some decisions, make some hard decisions, you know, and try to visualize the life that you want to have. I even made a vision board, you know, like just on a big piece of poster board where I drew pictures, or I cut out pictures from a magazine or different words, or like, what do I want? And I made it sort of a physical representation of what I wanted. And it hasn't all come true, but I still put it out there to try to, you know, pray on it, meditate on it. And it's in time, you know, when you realize you've lost a lot of people in your life, even a best friend or work relationship people or neighbors, those losses, those empty spaces in your heart can really make room for new people and new situations that, you know, you're more aligned with. So they align with your values and your interests.
Yeah, aligning with your values is very, very important, because when you go against your values, it just gives you that yucky feeling. You just don't feel right.
And, you know, throughout any kind of toxic relationship, whether it's a work relationship, a romantic relationship, family, friends, there are times if you experience what's called cognitive dissonance, where you know something's not right, but you don't quite know what it is. But then you just plug along and go ahead. And And so in time, you start to realize you don't have to just plug along and accept whatever is given to you. You can make some choices. And the choices are hard sometimes to say, hey, you know, this person, you don't say it to them necessarily, but, you know, you just know, hey, I know this person isn't necessarily good for me. They've abused me in many different ways, and I never really looked at it as abuse, but really, I don't want to tolerate that. And be kind to yourself. The whole self-love thing is, you know, it's very overrated, that term, but there's so much truth to self-love. Take care of yourself physically, emotionally, spiritually. All of those things, you know, you need to take care of yourself and be there for yourself.
Absolutely. So you talk a lot about self-love and self-care. Do you have any routines or practices that you enjoy doing on a regular basis?
Yeah, sure. Well, now that I live in the Caribbean, I make sure that I get to the ocean several times a week, just to walk in the sand, float, you know, on the ocean. You know, that I found is very, very healing. I live in the rainforest on many acres, so I have lots to explore. There is never a dull moment. So getting out in nature is definitely... I don't even look at it as a routine. It's just part of what I do is get out in this beautiful island that I live in. But I would say that for the most part, when I wake up, for me, it works first thing in the morning to do some writing first thing in the morning, even before a cup of coffee, you know, that really does it for me. And then later on, at some point in the day, I will do some meditation or prayer. And I used to not really think about it, but now I find that, you know, I don't schedule it in. I don't have schedules like I did when I was working as a teacher, but I feel that I need to actually make a concerted effort to do that because the day can slip away without doing it. And I know that I'm better off if I take at least 15 minutes to a half an hour to just sit in silence with reflection, try to quiet my mind, which is a learned practice. It didn't happen right away. Yeah. So definitely those would be kind of the routines that really work for me. So it's being out in nature, enjoying the beautiful surroundings, which happen to be the ocean and the islands for me now. But I always love the seasons and love all different areas. So wherever you are, you can find the beauty in nature and where you are. You just need to get out and observe. So doing that, writing, and then prayer and meditation, those would be kind of like, if you're asking, kind of routines that I do, I incorporate into my day.
Wonderful. Now, can you talk a little bit about your book and where people can get the book?
Yeah, sure, sure. So I have a number of books. I actually have like 11 books out there. The first book was a spiritual fiction, which is called God Came to My Garage Sale. And that is also the name of my website. So my website is godcametomygaragesale.com. There you can find all my books, all the different people that endorse my books, all the different events and speaking engagements and articles and things that I'm involved in under the happening section. Then I have a four-book series, but the third book, this is the book series. This one's all these terms. This is a survivor's workbook. There's acrostic poetry. That four-book series called True Deceit, False Love can be found at Balboa Press, which is a division of Hay House. That's my publisher. But it's also on Barnes & Noble and Amazon. And if money is tight for people, they can do the e-version for just $3.99. Or the books are all in paperback form. So they're very reasonable.
Wonderful. So we're going to wrap this up. Are there any other words you'd like to share with the audience today?
Well, just the audience is very fortunate to have found you, Denise, because your podcast is just amazing. The various people that you have on, the various topics, I think it's a great place to be. And so I would encourage people to continue to check out you know, what you do, as well as other people that put out podcasts. I would say, you know, if you're in a challenging situation that, and you might resonate a little bit with some of the things I talked about, realize that you're not alone and that there is help out there. But a lot of the help you can get from within yourself. You know, there's a lot you can do yourself. So I just believe that handling challenges, whatever they are, with love, honesty, compassion, and goodness, then you're on the right path. And pay attention to signs and synchronicities and follow your gut intuition. It's like that little voice in our head or our stomach telling us to do certain things. And you know what? We don't pay attention to that as much as we should. So goodness can prevail.
Absolutely. That little voice in your head is usually right. Or yeah, actually, definitely. I've never had it come across where it was wrong. So
right. Yep.
So thank you so much for your time today and your wonderful wisdom.
Well, thank you so much for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for listening to the Calm Your Daily Stress podcast. Have you ever wondered what your stress personality is? Are you a self-care goddess or a burnout queen? Well, you can find out by taking my free quiz. You just need to go to www.stressquiz.info to find out where you rank. Sending you love and peace, and I'll see you in the next episode.